Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Ad Project Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Joe Shellyrood from Ad Advance, and today I am joined by Dan Brownshire from Channel Key. Dan, it is awesome to have you on the podcast, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Joe. I'm glad we finally put it together. It's always fun talking to you.
Yeah. So Dan and I got to meet in person for the first time in Vegas. It was one of the conferences. I can't remember if it was CES or Prosper.
I remember either. It was one of those. Was that a couple of years ago? I think at this point.
Yep. So that's pretty sweet when you live in Vegas to go to these different it seems like we have so many different conferences that end up in Vegas in the overall e-commerce community.
I didn't move to Vegas for that reason. But it's been a kind of unintended benefit, of being here, not only personally, right? Because we always, you know, get to see, like, there's a lot of visitors, a lot of tourists, like 50 million plus tourists that come to Vegas every year. So we get to see friends and family that are here. But also there's conferences, there's trade shows, there's always that happening. So we're lucky, Joe. We're lucky.
Yeah.
I'm lucky.
Yeah, that's awesome.
My whole team's not here, but a few of us are. And, you know,
yeah, you've got a few more events in Vegas than we have in Duluth, Minnesota. We do have a few more trees and forests up here, but
more trees, more forests, more moisture. You're right. Probably a little less debauchery than here in Vegas.
A little less, yeah. So, Dan, tell us about Channel Key, kind of how you got in the space. Like, I always love to hear people's origin stories.
Yeah. So, Channel Key is a full service channel management agency. We're focused on Amazon as the primary channel. So we do a lot of work for our clients. Brand owners, manufacturers is who we work with typically. We're doing graphic design work. We're doing SEO catalog work on Amazon. We're doing, you know, analytics forecasting. Work closely with our vendor central clients on kind of AVN and vendor negotiations and working with vendor managers. Full funnel ads management, you know, DSP, search, all of those things. Started the agency officially in January of 2017, but spun it out of a sister org that I co-founded back in 2009, which was a product business. Started as like a side hustle between me and a couple other college buddies, literally sourcing products on Alibaba and selling them, you know, through eBay and through a bunch of micro websites, and then eventually through Amazon, and kind of rode the Amazon reseller wave, like in 2010. And things were crazy and fun and explosive growth and high margins. And, you know, the ad business was like nascent at that point. FBA was kind of new.
Yep, we'd complain about 10% ACoS and like $5 or 5 cent cost per click.
And so that became a pretty sizable kind of Amazon private label business. And but we had all these brand relationships and we're doing all this really good work for ourselves and for some of those brands as a reseller and then as an exclusive reseller, and that said, hey, you know what? Perhaps the better business model is an agency or service-based business to help these other brands. And so we kind of spun the agency out of that business as a separate company. And then my two partners ran the private label business, and we ended up selling that in the summer of 21, which became a small aggregator. And it's that business is still running.
That's awesome.
But spun the agency out in 17. So built it off the back of kind of building our own pretty large, you know, Amazon private label business, and have been doing it ever since.
That's awesome. Yep. And I can definitely relate. I started first on the reseller side. I didn't start as early as you did, but I was like 2014. So I was like reselling like North Face backpacks and Camelbacks and a bunch of other stuff. And got in the private label business, ended up starting our agency in 2017 too. So a lot of time frames line up, kind of the whole journey lines up. I love it.
So would you consider yourself like an OG agency guy, Joe, or not? Right.
In terms of like Amazon, people refer to me as that. You know, it doesn't feel
Yeah.
like it's been that long, but I guess I'm 7 years now. So
I
in the
know.
agency space, 10 year, a decade now in the e-commerce space. So
Yep.
yeah, I don't know. I guess in Amazon years are kind of like dog years.
I think so. It still feels super early. There's a lot of agencies coming, popping out all the time, which is great. But there's also a few agencies that were before us that I'm aware of, like that I consider maybe a little OG, but we are getting old, Joe, in this space.
Yep, for
Getting
those on video, you can see the gray hair is really starting to
old.
appear in the beard. Yeah. Yeah. So you've been in the space for quite a while. Let's start really high level. And so key questions that we're getting asked quite a bit as we're looking at like the overall e-commerce space, people selling on Amazon or Walmart or these different platforms, they're continually seeing fees go up. They're seeing advertising get more expensive. They're seeing a lot of competitors coming into the space. So it looks a lot different than when we started selling, a ways ago. But we're also seeing a lot of success from different brands. So paint the picture for me, kind of like what are you seeing in the space, high level? Like what brands are succeeding, which ones are faltering, failing? Where do you see this going? So I got about four really big questions there for you.
I'll try and piece that all together, Joe. Thanks. let's see. E-com as a total percentage of retail is still a smaller percentage, right?
Sure.
COVID hit, and like everybody thought that we were going to jump like 10 years ahead from an e-commerce perspective as a percentage of total retail. And we did for a period of time, but it dropped back down, right? So we're kind of back on that original trajectory.
It's funny looking
So,
at the graph where you see that major acceleration, but then it kind of flatlines and returned back to average, which is still increasing, but there
That's
was
right.
that major acceleration, but then, all right, we're returning back to the trend line.
Back to normal, right? So like during that window, Amazon was like the Red Cross, like that was. You couldn't buy products, right? But you could on Amazon. So that was an exciting time and fun time. So I still think it's relatively early for e-com, right? But Amazon has created this just massive, in my opinion, moat for their business on the back of assortment and logistics and operations, right? I think that's the key. So my one stance is I don't think Amazon is going anywhere, right? Like I've heard all of these headlines around Temu and Shein and TikTok Shop and all of these other platforms that are gonna be the Amazon killers, and I don't believe that's true. I do believe that it is great to have those alternative options, and I think it's only a matter of time before more of those pop up, and then the ones that are doing well continue to get better. And I think an example of that is Walmart, right? And you and I have talked about that. Walmart is investing billions of dollars in their e-commerce platform and in their marketplace and in their retail media offering. And I still think it's early for them, right? But it's getting better. And as costs increase, like we're seeing on Amazon, which by the way, Joe, and I think you can probably attest to this, they've increased every single year for as long as I've been on the platform. So it's not a new thing, right? It's going to naturally perhaps push brands to A, operate and perform better in general, but B, to other channels. Right. And so I think that's just a natural progression of any business, right? Or any category or any channel or vertical or whatever. Like this is naturally what happens. There's growth and fees and consolidation and then competition. And, I think we're in that cycle. And so in general, as it relates to Amazon, I think it's becoming increasingly harder for companies, let's see, for sellers that like are there for resellers, right? harder for resellers on Amazon, right? Margins have always been tight, and they're just going to get tighter. Retail arbitrage, hard business, especially as fees go up, right? Now, maybe you're less susceptible to changes in advertising in that model, but still, it gets more competitive and more expensive. Lower price point items, right? Lower retail items, especially in Seller Central, really hard, right? Fees go up. If you're selling a $10 item, it's virtually impossible to make money on Amazon. Like, it's super hard, especially if you're an FBA on Seller Central, and on Vendor Central. Like, the vendor managers are being increasingly scrutinized on their profitability, and selling low dollar items at negative margin is just not sustainable, right? So I crap out. So I think the cream always rises to the top, and brands that are able to operate efficiently and scale efficiently and constantly refine their business, not even related to Amazon, but their operations, their supply chain, where they get goods, their staffing model, right? They're able to maintain and run an efficient business, are going to do well. Brand, I think, does well on Amazon, right? If you have to spend money on ads, it's much more efficient if there's high branded search, right? And so brand building becomes increasingly important. And I think that off channel becomes increasingly important as well. Okay, so TikTok Shop, all these other platforms, social brand building off Amazon, I think, becomes more and more important to help drive efficiency on Amazon and scale over time. So I think that's where it's at. Now, I do think there's opportunities for, Amazon private label brands to do well and find this white space. I still think there's opportunity for that, and that will continue. And I think that's fun and exciting. And one of the reasons why I love Amazon so much is because it creates this environment for entrepreneurs to be successful. But price point's critical, brand building critical, and more competition, I just think, creates opportunities also for the brands that are really in it and really want to build something materially and not just kind of chase transactional volume.
And I think that's a really good summary. And in general, I think the major trend that we're seeing is there is a consolidation that's happening on Amazon in terms of the products and brands that do really well. And when we were first selling on Amazon, the key focus was like quantity of products and really trying to drive as many products as possible. So Amazon's a one-stop shop for anything you need shopping-wise. And you didn't have to have that key differentiator. You didn't have to really focus on brand. It was all about the product, just getting it out there. Algorithms supported that too, where it was just this wide variety of different products, really easy to launch. And I think the key thing that we've seen is just this switch where now it's the major focus is on quality. And those brands that are doing really well and are able to cut costs in other areas to maintain pricing and maintain those profit margins and build that brand at the same time, those are the ones that are succeeding. But I think you're seeing a consolidation too, where those products that did have success previously that may not have those key differentiating factors or that brand behind it, it's getting harder and harder, especially with the fee increases going up every year. And we were also just looking at cost per click. Advertising costs, they continue to rise to this day too. And so all those factors really put a squeeze on the sellers. So another trend that we've seen is just like the direct to manufacturers type push, where a lot of the individual sellers are getting cut out of the supply chain. And now it's going direct to manufacturers and like Amazon's fulfillment services, making it easier and easier to go direct. I think that's another key trend that we've personally seen too, as fees have gotten higher and the platforms become more competitive.
Absolutely, right? And like rise of Temu. Right? That's it. They're going direct to the factories in a lot of cases and allowing these factories to ship direct into the United States. And now, if Amazon can support that, which they can with their logistics services, if I'm a factory and I've got excess capacity or the ability to create, why would I not want to do that? Right? It's more vertical, it's more integrated, and it's the best margin you're going to get. So I think that makes sense, right? And ultimately, like if you think about what Amazon has done, they've like democratized the ability for product-based businesses to sell, and reach the consumer. And like when you and I first started, selling on Amazon, like you couldn't do that. Like there's no way you could have done that previously. Like you'd have to sell into brick and mortar or build your own website, right? You got it. If you wanted to build a brand, you'd have to find a manufacturer, you'd have to find a distributor, you'd have to find, you'd have to get access into brick and mortar. Like there's all these layers of distribution that happen between the manufacturer and the end user. And Amazon allowed folks to remove those layers of distribution and access a huge cohort of buyers, like for $40 a month, to buy a professional seller account. And so I think it's a natural progression for you to get closer to the manufacturer because that's where the most margin is. And if the manufacturer can now reach the consumer directly, why would they not want to do that?
Sure. What is so you get to work with a number of different brands at ChannelKey. If you look at some of the most successful brands and those products that have really had staying power and those brands that have had staying power and they're succeeding and they're growing, what would you say are some common threads that you see versus others that may have like struggled on the platform or haven't been able to sustain that growth?
Good question. Let's see. The ones that do well from experience are the ones that A, are high quality, right? Or they've created a mix of either price point, positioning, product targeting, consumer targeting that yields a good customer experience and good outcome, and ultimately a positive review, high quality review, right? And so, and the ones that are leaning into brand and leaning into the consumer, if you're just chasing transactional volume and you don't have a brand story or a brand voice or a brand or your brand's not connecting to the specific audience you're trying to target in a meaningful way, then I think it's only a matter of time that you're going to be taken over by a competitor, right? So the ones that have done well for us, they're leaning in, they're good business operators, they have a good brand voice, and they've hit the mark on the consumer type they're going after, the price point, and the product quality. And that's category independent, right? We've got big, good brand clients in toys and in home and in kitchen and in CPG and in supplement. And what's always the case is they're good operators. They've leaned into their brand, and they're consistent in their messaging, and they're driving high quality outcomes with their customers.
I think one other piece to add that we've seen too is like those with real staying power, they're able to utilize their brand or they have a product lineup that maximizes total lifetime value, meaning they're getting other sales after that initial sale. And so it's one piece that it's harder and harder, or I guess more expensive to try to get that new to brand customer. And so those that we see really have staying power, they've been able to build that brand and they have other products that they can either cross-sell or that you have repeat purchases after the fact. Just because if you rely on the margins of that first sale, they're probably going to be pretty slim. But if you can drive them back to your brand after that initial purchase with that new to brand customer, that's where a lot of the margins are made. And so that's where we'll see the difference. And a lot of people will ask, like, hey, how could anybody afford this cost per click for this general keyword? And you look at who is actually bidding on that, and sometimes it just doesn't make sense and they're probably going to lose money and go out of business. But in a lot of the cases, it's those that have a really strong brand. And now you can tie it back and you can be like, okay, I bet they're driving like cross sales or repeat purchases after the fact. And that's what allows them to do this.
So when you say that, I totally agree with you, right? Understanding the LTV equation for your product is important. But also, does that lend itself to more of a consumable type product or a CPG type product or a supplement type product where, hey, yeah, I'm going to try and acquire new customers for you and I'm going to get you on a continuity program where, sure, yeah, you might lose money on that first sale, right? But guess what? I'm going to get you every single month. There's going to be 12 sales over the forward-looking year, right? I'm going to make that back and I'm going to keep you and I'm going to cross-sell you. Versus a, hey, I sell a, I don't know, I sell a blanket or a pillow or a comforter or a, you know, a slide for your backyard, right? Like the LTV equation is a little less clear in those scenarios.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean they can't be successful, right? It doesn't mean they can't be successful. There's not a cross sell. It's just a different type of environment.
Yep, it makes it trickier. But even in the case, like if we look at, say, like toys, maybe there's some accessories that I could add on and I could kind of promote that in that initial toy that I sell. Or if I have a really strong brand, you know, I'm looking for Melissa and Doug and I keep coming back and searching for their brand because I've got quality products. You know, it's things like that where it's like, even if it is more of a one-time purchase, are there ways or little add-ons we can add to the equation to hopefully drive them back? But yes, those one-time purchases, especially so if I am selling like this nice comfy blanket, like there's going to be a whole different strategy there. It's going to be much more competitive and people are going to be probably a little bit more brand agnostic for some of those too, which makes it trickier.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. So but that's also the fun part of it, right? Is trying to understand strategically, who are you as an agency, right? Yeah. Who's your client, right? What's the product type? What's the category? What's the LTV? Who's the consumer? And what's the ultimate strategy to yield the highest possible outcome for them? Yeah. I mean, that's part of the fun, right?
So a new client comes to you. What's some of the key things that you dig into first? Or where would you say the biggest gaps are? Like what do you implement that drives the biggest improvement for new clients that come to you? Is there anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, good. So good question. So for us, like our target audience, our customer ICP is, we're generally category agnostic. We like consumables, but we're agnostic. And we work with like established brands, right? So net new sellers to the marketplace or smaller sellers is generally not aligned with us just based on our structure and how we operate. So for us, we're typically evaluating brands that are doing, you know, anywhere from 2 to 200 million in volume on Amazon already, right? And the issues we unpack, so we're a full service agency, right? So we're looking at their catalog and we're looking at the quality of their graphics and the quality of their storefront. We're looking at their back end. We're looking at their stock, their in-stock rates, right? We're looking at their analytics. We're looking at their competition and how they're priced against competition or reviewed against competition. We're looking at their ad strategies. Like we're looking at all of those things, right? And I would say our approach is heavy strategy based. Like it starts with our sales team, our biz dev team, who's looking at opportunities because we don't pick everybody, right? Because you can't, and it just doesn't make sense to do that. So we look for gaps and we look for opportunities, and those gaps could be, hey, listen, you're under indexed in the marketplace for how big your brand is, right? Or for how well you're doing outside of Amazon. You might have mega catalog issues that are driving low conversion rates. Your ad strategy might be nascent or broken or hard to even understand based on the structure of your campaigns and the back end of your account. So invariably what we see is there's a lack of some sort of cohesive strategy for the marketplace in total, right? Not just ads and not just catalog, not just one single thing, but in total that is going to drive towards some end goal, right? So that's where we come in. We say, all right, you said Melissa and Doug, are you happy? Are you getting the results you want? If you're not, help us understand what your goals are. And if we think there's opportunity and it's viable, let us build you a plan to get you there, right?
Sure.
And so for us, it's not a single thing, right? It's a multitude of factors that we try to piece together to come up with a business plan that's going to yield this right outcome.
Sure. Yeah. If there was, so we talked about overarching strategy. If you had to give advice to different brands out there, what's the, they have to look at one thing and this is going to have the biggest impact. Like, yeah. I'm going to make you generalize a bit, but what's one key takeaway or the biggest thing that you end up after you tie together the strategy?
Yeah. Let's see. Well, first off, hire an agency, right? Hire an agency to help. Like, that's the first thing. No, I think the biggest opportunities right now that we're seeing are, brands are underutilizing upper funnel activities and opportunities, right? So more specifically around awareness, creating brand building, creating and leveraging opportunities like streaming TV and video. I think that's where there's gap and opportunity. I know you talk a lot about DSP, so do we, right? I think that's where for established brands that are on the marketplace that are doing well, we see gaps in brands' understanding and ability to go up to the mid funnel or to the upper funnel and drive, you know, more awareness for brands.
Sure. I love it. Yeah. Yeah. It's a huge opportunity that we're seeing too. And I think that one of the biggest things we run into is people will analyze all their Amazon ads the same in terms of KPIs, no matter where you're at in the funnel. And so another key thing that we see is, one, probably an underutilization of upper funnel, and then two, probably measuring that upper funnel a bit wrong. And if you take all upper funnel ads straight to ROAS from the start, it's not going to make sense. And you know, we have some clients that they're advertising on linear TV, and it's like, okay, well, you're not measuring that off of a ROAS, but why are we measuring this upper funnel ad off of ROAS? And so, you know, I think upper funnel is huge, and then having the right KPIs that go along with it, where you can see the full funnel and you're not just focused on that upper funnel ad. You know that that's going to drive brand awareness, that drives that branded search, which then probably drives another click for branded search, which then drives the purchase. The ROAS goes to that lower funnel ad, but that upper funnel that contributed. And so I think that's another key thing too.
It's a great point, right? So solid visibility into the entire funnel. You know, that's where AMC can help, right? And some of these other visibility tools. So I would agree with that 100%, Joe.
Yeah. Well, Dan, it's been an awesome conversation. We could talk for quite a while. But for people who want to connect with you, find out more about you, find out more about Channel Key, where should they go?
Yeah, Joe, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation, as always. For me, super active on LinkedIn. So find me on LinkedIn, search Dan Brownshire. I'm there, I'm active, put out a lot of content, post weekly in a lot of cases. Follow us. Also, follow Channel Key on LinkedIn. So we put out some company posts and various newsletters. You can go to our website. Become a subscriber to our blog. We're putting out a lot of content. So go to our website, sign up, go to LinkedIn, find Channel Key or find me personally, and we're pretty easy to access.
I love it. I love it. Well, Dan, it was awesome to have you on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. Appreciate what you're doing for the community. You're one of the good guys in the space, and I appreciate that, and it's always fun chatting with you.
Thank you. And for all those who are listening to the podcast, as always, really appreciate you listening. And we will see you on the next episode of The Ad Project.